House Public Safety Committee is now called to order. And do we have a quorum?
Yeah.
Okay, we have a quorum. And all right, Laura, you want to take the roll?
Woodard.
Here.
Mullery. Gauthier.
Here.
Grunhagen.
Here.
Hilty. Johnson.
Here.
Kelly. Kiefer. Kreisel. Leidiger.
Here.
Mariani. McDonald.
Here.
Moran.
Here.
Nornis. Slocum. Smith.
Here. We have, having eight members, we do have a quorum. And Representative Grunhagen, have you thoroughly reviewed the notes, and would you like to move those, the minutes?
Yes.
I'll take that.
Yes.
All those in favor of the minutes, signify by saying aye.
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 All those opposed? Okay. Minutes are approved. First on the calendar is House File 1067. Representative Gauthier, I understand you want to move this one.
Yes, Mr. Chair, I'd like to move Bill 1067, recommend passage, and to the re-refer to the General Register.
Representative Gauthier recommends or moves House File 1067, recommended to pass, and move to the General Register. Representative Nelson, to your bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And before we get started, I've got a small oral amendment. Mr. Dybul has a copy of it. There was an issue with the farm groups that, to give them some comfort, to insert on line 1, or page 1, line 10, before perform, insert the word knowingly. And if somebody could move that.
Mr. Chair.
Oh, before we move that, Mr. Dybul, do you have that? You want to repeat that for us?
Mr. Chair and members, the amendment would be on page 1, line 10, before perform, insert knowingly.
So move.
Okay. Representative Gauthier moves the oral amendment. Any discussion? All those in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed? Amendment is adopted.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
And
that goes to the part of the reason why this bill is here. The part of the bill on this rail bank property that we're doing is that they're increasing the penalty from a petty misdemeanor to a misdemeanor, and that's why it's here in front of this committee. As was told me by MnDOT, that there have been problems in the past where some farmers, some people have gone out of their way and infringed on this property. Some of the farmers that have done it have, you know, they get 20 extra acres of land and they're doing it over and over again. It's the $300 fine for a petty misdemeanor is looked at as a cost of doing business. This gives MnDOT and the opportunity to have a little more strength in trying to enforce their property rights.
Okay, thank you, Representative Nelson. Do you have any testifiers?
I have Eric Rudine here from the MnDOT.
Okay, can you please state your name for the record?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm Eric Rudine with MnDOT Government Affairs, and I think Representative Nelson has done a good job in explaining the bill. We're not intending to go after people, including farmers, who, you know, make a mistake. Maybe they don't know where a property line is. That's not our intent. But as indicated, we do have some people who, even after being informed, they're, you know, performing activities on railbank property. They continue to do so. And so we're hoping that strengthening the penalty will just give us a little more help in enforcement.
Any members of the public here to speak in opposition or in support of the bill? Okay, seeing none, any discussion from the members?
I have some questions, please. Representative Nelson, what's the genesis of this bill? Where did this come from?
Representative Nelson?
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and Representative Leidiger. MnDOT brought this for me. It's an agency bill, and I had them in the previous one. We had pictures of people building deer stands on them, people that have logged along them and piled logs up on them, pictures of farmers that have farmed into the right-of-way, and MnDOT is charged with keeping these banked rail lines that have been abandoned in condition that being used for trails and whatnot, or possibly put back into rail service in the future. And by these people infringing on them, they're taking away the property rights that we have, the state has on those rail lines, abandoned rail lines.
Mr. Chair, if I could just add something too.
Go ahead. We've had
a few accidents along our rail bank property, primarily from snowmobilers who have actually run into things that have been left on rail bank property. And that's a concern for us, you know, because we're charged in the law with maintaining these, and most of them do have DNR trails on them today. But we want to make sure that whether it's, you know, people jogging, there was actually an incident near St. Cloud where a woman was jogging and had an accident. Actually, she was attacked by somebody who was hiding in a row of corn that was planted right up next to the trail on state property. So that's some of the concerns that we've had, that we you know, want to maintain these corridors safely, and we're hoping that this bill helps us do that.
Thank you, Mr. Rudin. Representative Leidiger?
That's it. Thank you very much.
And Representative Nelson, I assume based on the oral amendment that you've talked to parties like the farmers and other people who would be affected by this?
Yes, Mr. Chair. The knowingly amendment came from the farmers. They don't want the people going at that because I don't know where the line is and accidentally go over. That gets at the people that are doing it continuously, and that's why that we put the knowingly in, and they're in favor of that.
Okay. Any further discussion from the members? Okay. Would you like to renew your motion, Representative Gaultier?
Yes, Mr. Chair. I'd recommend 1067 passage and move to the General Register.
Representative Gaultier renews his motion that House File 1067 be recommended to pass and move to the General Register. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed? Motion's carried.
Thank you,
Representative Nelson. Thank you, Mr. Dean. Next up on the calendar is House File 718. Do we know who's going to move it?
Good morning, Mr. Chair and committee.
Good morning, Representative Champion. How are you?
I'm doing nicely. Thank you for asking.
And Representative Gaultier, did you want to move this bill as
well? Yes, I'd like to move House File 718, recommend passage, and move to the General Register.
Representative Gaultier moves House File 718, recommends for passage, and move to the General Register. Representative Champion, to your bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and committee. This bill, I thought it would be important for us to talk about what this bill is not. First of all, this bill is the same bipartisan bill passed the House and Senate last session. House File 718 addresses voice concerns about felons voting in elections when not eligible. House File 718 also addresses a concern where individuals with a challenging past being discharged from probation and therefore eligible to vote under the law do not know that they can vote. Both concerns cause a problem that is addressed here in House File 718. Perhaps the bill should have started with Section 3, so let's go there first, which is now Section 4. If a person under Section 4 is found guilty of a felony level offense or pleads guilty to a felony level offense, that particular person must be told that the civil rights have been lost and that they cannot vote. And usually that happens now in court, where a judge usually will say if a person is adjudicated guilty of a felony level offense that you cannot possess a firearm. Right? I just think it's important on the front end for them to also say not only can you not possess a firearm, but you cannot vote until you are discharged from probation. And then if we go to then under what is now Section 2, just because my notes are a little different from what's here. So under Section 4, we've already gone through that. So if we look at Section 3, if a person, and this is possible, if a person goes to jail or prison, and they can execute all of their time, we're just saying that once the person is discharged from prison, that he or she be told that they have the right to vote because they're civil rights have been restored under Minnesota Statute 609.165, which is automatic right now. And that it's possible that at that correctional facility that they can provide notice and must also provide or may provide, not necessarily provide, a voter registration application. If a person goes to, does not go to jail or prison, or can go to jail but they get out, and let's say they still have a probation, if you look at Section 3, Subdivision 2, Number 2 also, a probation officer shall provide the notice and may provide a voter registration application when an individual under correctional supervision for a felony-level offense is discharged from their sentence. And the individual's civil rights have been restored under, as I said earlier, 609.165. So it's possible once a person is done with probation, the probation officer just provides them notice that you are off of probation and now you are able to vote. If you look at subdivision 3, it just gives a uniformed way by which a person should be notified of the restoration of their civil rights. And we just provided that language there. There was also a concern, and I'm trying to see where we made the change. Representative Quam talked about the need to have some additional language so that there's an understanding that there's no delivery of ballots that would happen, or no absentee ballots to a prison. So if you look at Section 2, Subdivision 3, that is where we put forward that language so that it's very clear that the Secretary of State's office is not going to send to a correctional facilities, nor is the Department of Correction going to accept any absentee ballots, because we want to make sure that everyone is clear that felons are not allowed to vote. And lastly, Section 1, just talk about the Secretary of State developing an accurate and complete information in a single publication about the voting rights of people who have been charged with or convicted of a felony level offense. And we want this publication to be made available electronically as a means to just make sure all folks, including but not limited to judges, court personnel, probation officers, and the Department of Corrections, and parole officers are all, you know, in sync and understand what the law is currently. So let's be very clear. This piece of legislation does not change anything as the law provides right now. We are not giving felons any more rights than what is already enumerated or articulated in the law. It's just providing notice and just making sure that notice is consistent. Thank you, Mr. Chair, and I will stand for questions.
Okay, members, I think it's fairly non-controversial bill, unless somebody's got any questions. It came through to judiciary, right? Representative Woodard.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and Representative Champion. Is there a fiscal note associated with it that I'm...
Mr. Chair?
Is there... Oh, go ahead.
Mr. Chair.
Mr. Chair.
There's an echo in here. Representative Camping, go ahead.
Thank you. I just wanted to always go through the chair. So, Mr. Chair and Representative, no, there is no fiscal impact, and there was a fiscal note. The fiscal impact is zero.
Representative Woodard?
Thank you.
Okay. Representative Leidiger.
Well, that was my question, too, about the fiscal note, and but I did see it. How? Yet, we're going to ramp up the notification process. That's what I see this happening, and I kind of question the fiscal note. How can we ramp it up and it not cost us anything?
That's a good question, and I struggle with fiscal notes. I just got back from my meeting on the Castle Doctrine. They had all sorts of fiscal notes, and some bills we have fiscal notes, some don't. Some we support, some we don't, some we ignore. It's really tough this year to find out rhyme and reason. But since it doesn't have a fiscal note, it doesn't have to go to Ways and Means. It would probably go right to, does this go to the General Register? To the General Register. So.
Yes.
Okay. Representative Campion, any closing statement of 7 seconds or less?
I just hope that you will support the bill because I think it's good public policy.
Okay, thank you for your presentation, and unless there's any questions, we would move House File 718. Or Representative Gauthier, you want to move the bill?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair. I'd move House File 718, recommend passage, and send to the General Register.
Okay, you've all heard the motion. Any comments or questions? Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Thank you. And then
no meeting tomorrow.
No meeting tomorrow. Any questions? And we'll keep in touch on the email if something pops up. So thank you very much.
I've just Death noticed control, that right? Now, is this the kind of behavior that happens once you turn 60? I'm worried about that. Being late, forgetful, all these things happen. Just kind of worried. You know, I got it on the horizon.
Lucky I even remembered to show up here today. Yes, Representative McDonald.
Mr. Chair, I can probably put to... quiet some of Langner's concerns. I was with Rep. Cornish, and he was very well behaved last night.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, actually, I was good last night. I was in bed by 10:45. But I want to tell you what happened between then. And Thank you very much. Meeting adjourned.